This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Friday, November 30th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. We'll start down in Atlanta last night, the Sol and NFL Thursday night game, Saints at Falcons. The game, of course, much more important to the Saints in terms of trying to stay alive for the playoffs after that 0-4 start. Falcons 10-1 going in have obviously had a great season. And at the end of the day, it's the Falcons 23, the Saints 13. Drew Brees with one of his worst games ever. No touchdown passes, 5 interceptions. Yes, 2 of them were tipped, but Brees just could not throw a TD pass yesterday. His streak stopping the all-time NFL record, stopping at 54 straight. Now, we talked about it when he broke Johnny Unitas' mark of 48 6 games ago. Clearly, the Unitas record is much more difficult and means much more, at least in my opinion, than Brees' record. Again, this is the old, he broke the record. Records are made to be broken. That's what Drew Brees said. He said all the right things, but my guess is you'd have to throw a touchdown pass in 70 or 75 straight games to equal the way it was back in the 50s and 60s when Johnny Unitas played. Having said that, it seemed like there were 4 or 5 different times when Brees could have thrown a touchdown pass yesterday. It was just a disaster day for him, but he hit Sproles for a touchdown. It was called back for a penalty. Then he threw a dump-off to Sproles before the half, which was absurd on two levels, because after Sproles didn't score, they then couldn't even kick a field goal. That was costly. He hit Lance Moore in the hands from about 7 yards out. Moore dropped it. He hit Mark Ingram on a swing pass where it looked like Ingram could maybe get in from the 5 or 6. Ingram fell down. So those are the kinds of things that essentially, the football gods had to gang up on Drew Brees for him not to throw a touchdown pass. But the flip side of that, the 5 interceptions, the notion that the Saints were still in the game late, down 20-13, they would lose 23-13, is just amazing and takes me to the other side. The Falcons, and look, do the Falcons and the Texans have the best records in football? Yes, they only have one loss. I don't think anybody now, after watching them the last 3 or 4 weeks, really thinks that those are the two best teams in football. I mean, I think the 49ers are better than both of them. The Patriots, whose defense is coming along, they might be better than both of them. The Ravens, who knows? My point is, Green Bay, I don't know, they got whomped by the Giants last week, but it seems pretty clear, to me anyway, that the Texans and the Falcons are not the two best teams. Now, you know the old Bill Parcells saying, you are what your record says you are. I kind of disputed that in an article a little earlier this year. For example, the Patriots are 8-3, and certainly should have had another 1 or 2 wins based on the replacement refs. Same thing goes for Green Bay, of course, with the Seattle game that you can argue ended the ref lockout. But whatever, the point is, these two teams with one loss each, in my opinion, aren't the best teams in their respective conference. But, hey, the season will play out now. We'll see what happens. Yesterday, Matty Ice, 18 for 33, 185, and 1 touchdown, no interceptions. Turner, 12 rushes for 83 yards. Rodgers, another 8 for 43. Receiving, Jones, 5 receptions for 48 yards. Gonzalez, 4 for 58 and a touchdown. The ageless wonder, Tony Gonzalez. If you saw before the game, Drew Brees trying to pump up his team on the road, saying things, this is our division, they know it, we know it. You know, again, didn't sound, does it ring true? You have 6 losses, they have 1 loss. Even if you beat them, you know, you still have 6 losses, they have 2 losses. And when Tony Gonzalez, one of the great, maybe the greatest tight end, one of the greatest tight ends of all time, I don't know if he's better than Ditka in his era or Kellen Winslow Sr. in his era, but, you know, that's debatable, of course. But after the game, Tony Gonzalez was told about it, and he just started laughing. He said, well, they can think whatever they want, but we beat them. So it's an interesting dynamic, but I don't think the Saints, and we've talked about this since they were 0-4, they made a great comeback to 5-5, but it's virtually impossible for them to make the playoffs, because at 5-5 they had a very difficult schedule. Now they're 5-7. They've got some real issues, and again, there's a lot of it due to Bounty Gate. Well, some of it is due to Bounty Gate. But yesterday, Drew Brees, 28 for 50 for 341, so you look at those numbers and go, wow, and then you hear no touchdowns, five picks. You know, what are you going to say? Rushing Thomas, 14 for 84. Ingram only 6 for 13 and the touchdown. Lance Moore, 7 for 123 yards, but again, dropped that one in the end zone. Colston, 6 for 71. Sproles, 5 for 47. Graham, 4 for 59. Again, the passing numbers were great until you get to TDs and picks. To me, it's a testament to the Saints' defense that they were even in the game. Again, down 20 to 13. Actually, 17-13. After 20-13 until very late in the game. It was still a one-possession game. But Falcons 23, Saints 13, Falcons 11-1, Saints 5-7. And frankly, you know, I think you have to stick a fork in the Saints. Now, can they run the table, be 9-7, and have a chance for a wild card? Well, a lot's going to have to go their way. But I guess, you know, that's certainly a mathematical possibility. But, once you know, we've talked about it before. They had so much change in the organization. Peyton suspended for the year. Joe Vitt suspended. So they had an interim to the interim, and now Joe Vitt is back, and they played well at the beginning. But, again, now they're 5-7, and they're on the outside looking in. And I just don't think that the Saints are, frankly, good enough now. Can you blame the NFL for all those suspensions? Well, that remains to be seen. But again, it doesn't look like they're going to have enough at the end of the day. You can't really make up any excuses because the New Orleans Saints have 5 wins, 7 losses, and they have 2 teams of 5-6 in front of them, the Redskins and Cowboys. 2 teams, Tampa Bay and Minnesota, 6-5 in front of them. And then the 2 teams that are right now in the wild card, the Packers, 7-4, and the Seahawks at 6-5. So they have a long way to go, I guess. You can say on the one hand they're only 2 games out of the final playoff spot, but on the other hand, it gets late early and they've only got 4 games left. And again, they have to jump 5 teams, jump 5 teams, and that's going to be a very, very hard thing to do. Atlanta 23, New Orleans 13. A few other NFL notes because some interesting stuff coming on, and we'll give you a game against the spread a little later in the show. But Ben Roethlisberger, supposedly 50-50, but it doesn't look like he's going to be able to play on Sunday. He's got rib damage. He's got a shoulder injury. He said he can't sleep in certain positions. They showed him lobbing a ball, and he was very blunt with the media, you know, very honest. He said, look, I don't, you know, I got to see if I can throw the ball 30 yards or 40 yards or 50 yards. Now on Thursday, it didn't look like he could do that. Again, he was literally just lobbing the ball back and forth at practice. You know, the good news is he can lob the ball. The bad news is it's unlikely. Look, that game in Baltimore would be very tough. They should probably give him the game off and then hope to run the table because it probably needs another week of rest at least. But the Steelers, if they lose this week, again, the killer loss to the Browns last week with 8 turnovers, with 8 turnovers, they still had a chance. 7 turnovers, they had a turnover on the last play of the game. But with 7 turnovers, they still actually had a chance to win the game down 20-14. That would have been a miracle win. But they lost after losing to the Ravens. And again, a hard-fought battle, but no Big Ben. So we'll have to see. The flip side for the Ravens, it looks like Ray Lewis, I mean, this would be a minor miracle. It looks like Ray Lewis, 7 or 8 weeks after a torn right tricep surgery, is going to be able to play again. It's just amazing. Now, do they need him? Well, yeah, he's Ray Lewis, but they're 4-1 last 5 without him. They have a 3-game lead over the Bengals and the Steelers, so the intelligent thing, obviously, would be to bring him along very slowly. They're making the playoffs, and they're probably winning the division. They should beat the Steelers this week if the Steelers don't suit up Big Ben, and they might probably would beat him even if he does suit up because he's not going to be 100%, and you know, these Ravens-Steelers games are all tough games, but the Ravens at home are tough. So they'll probably bring Ray Lewis along slowly, but Donald Ellerbe, his replacement, did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. I don't think that's going to make Ray Lewis suit up for Sunday, but maybe sees him trying to shorten his time back, before he gets back, I should say. But again, it's looking bad for the Steelers against the Ravens. Frankly, I think even if Big Ben does play. Another interesting thing you followed for weeks now, the Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick QB dilemma. You know, Jim Harbaugh talking out of both sides of his mouth. You know, it sounds like he has two starters, only one can start. Great. Colin Kaepernick is going to get the start. You hate to see a guy lose his starting job due to injury, but, you know, the greatest example of all time was that was Drew Bledsoe losing his injury, losing his job to injury after Mo Lewis of the Jets knocked him out. You know, you can make a case Mo Lewis is the Patriots MVP for the last decade because that gave Tom Brady the start. Then you'll recall Belichick in the playoffs went to Tom Brady, despite the fact that Bledsoe even came in against the Steelers and threw that awesome touchdown pass in the corner and, you know, led the team to a playoff victory over the Steelers. But obviously it was the right call, and I don't think Alex Smith is Drew Bledsoe, but Alex Smith, who finally yesterday spoke up and said, quote, it sucks, close quote, that he's not starting. You know, essentially he didn't think he'd lose his job to a concussion, and that's exactly what happened. Smith does lead the NFL in completion percentage 70%. I mean, pretty amazing. But the knock on the 49ers, and I picked the 49ers to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl before the season started, and I'm sticking with that, but the knock was if the 49ers got down, if they got behind, they simply could not catch up, and they've kind of shown that when they have gotten behind. I think what Harbaugh probably thinks is that if the 49ers get behind with Kaepernick, you know, the old, much more athletic, can put it down and run, has a gun for an arm, and is learning on the fly. He beat the Bears in a stunning performance. You know, you remember that game where there were two substitute quarterbacks, but Kaepernick certainly didn't play like a substitute. Now he's the starter. He beat New Orleans down in New Orleans, and you can say that's a road win, but New Orleans' defense isn't very good. So Alex Smith will sit on the sidelines and maybe wait his turn, but it's unlikely he's getting that job back unless Kaepernick gets hurt or just totally crumbles. And again, he's played so well in his first two games, especially against the Bears in Chicago, that you don't think that's going to happen. For the Eagles, you know, this is going to be the end of the Andy Reid, Michael Vick era. But Nick Foles, Vick is not cleared yet, so Nick Foles will start again. And you don't know, you know, is Andy Reid going to go back to Vick when he's cleared to play? Might as well let Nick Foles play, young quarterback, played at Arizona, can play, did great in the preseason, you'll recall, has been okay in these games for the Eagles. But he probably needs six NFL games, and he might very well get that. So Vic, again, not cleared to play this weekend. Nick Foles will start again. Ray Lewis probably out this week, but coming back, a miracle. Big Ben, I say unlikely to play. Again, they're saying it's 50-50, but it's unlikely that he's going to play this weekend. And again, I think they need to run the table, assuming they lose this game. They can and need to run the table with Big Ben healthy, which hopefully would happen for the Steelers, not this weekend, but next weekend. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-421-1346. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-421-1346 and get your free catalog. 800-421-1346. That's 800-421-1346.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A bunch of non-NFL things to get to. The interesting game in the NBA last night, you probably heard about it. San Antonio down in Miami to play the Heat, but Greg Popovich decided to send Duncan and Ginobili and Parker and Danny Green home early to get some rest because they're playing Memphis at home on Saturday. And that's now sent shockwaves through the NBA, at least through Commissioner David Stern's office. He released a statement that he apologized to all NBA fans and there would be, quote, substantial sanctions will be forthcoming, close quote. Now, it's very interesting. Now, again, the game was on national TV on TNT. I don't know what that means. You know, there's seems like there's 10 games a week on national TV now, but whatever. The interesting thing is apparently a few years ago, I don't know, I just read in the Times, I think it was, maybe the Daily News in New York, that a few years ago, Adam Silver, at that time the deputy commissioner, a similar thing happened, don't know if it was with the Spurs or not, but Adam Silver, the guy who's going to be the next commissioner, came out with a statement that says, you know, the coach of the team can do whatever he wants. Popovich seemed stunned when he was told after the game on the air and wouldn't make a comment because he said he hadn't heard it. But, again, according to the NBA commissioner, there will be substantial sanctions against Popovich and maybe the Spurs as well. The game was fascinating, however. Obviously playing, you know, a starting lineup of Diao, Bonner, Diago Splitter, DiColo, and Mills. The Spurs took the Heat to the limit. In fact, they were up a lot of the game, up three going into the final quarter, but the Heat outscored the Spurs 32-24 and come away with a 105-100 win, which was not solidified until Ray Allen hit a big three very late in the game to put them in the lead. And Neal, at the end, missed an open three to tie. And then, of course, the Spurs fouled. That's how why there was a five-point differential. But, my goodness, it really was the varsity against the JV, and the JV almost won. Now, these guys can play, obviously. You know, Splitter had 18 and 9. Bonner had 10 and 10 rebounds. You know, DiColo, 15.6 rebounds. Neal off the bench as the sixth man, 20 points. So they can play, but, you know, the fact that they had the Heat back on their heels the whole game, but the Heat come away with a 105-100 win. LeBron James, 23 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. He's LeBron James. Bosh, 18 and 12. Dwayne Wade, 19, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. That's what these three guys do. Big help yesterday, of course, Ray Allen off the bench, 7 for 15. including that gigantic three. He had 20 points. But that's what, you know, the Heat are better this year because they have Ray Allen. I mean, that what they need is standalone three-point shooters. And, you know, sometimes it could be Miller, like late in the finals last year, in that final game. But they have Ray Allen, one of the best three-point shooters of all time, and that's why in and of itself they're a better team than they were last year when they won the championship. Heat 105, Spurs 100, it was more about who didn't play than who did play. Now, again, Popovich, you know, he'll be able to justify it. They're an old team. This was their sixth game in 9 days, all of it on the road. Memphis is a very good team. I think they were conceding the game, although obviously Popovich can now say, what are you talking about? We had the lead after three quarters. We had the lead in the fourth quarter. You know, and the answer to that's going to be, yeah, well, if you played your starters, you would have won. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it's an interesting dilemma because this can't be about Popovich doing this. He's done this before. This may be about the national perception and the fact that the game was on national TV, but I'll say it again. How many games a week are on, you know, national TV? 6, 8, 10? As you get closer to the playoffs, you know, whatever. So we'll see what happens. But the bottom line is Heat 105, San Antonio 100. One other game, an interesting game with a fascinating ending. The Nuggets on the road at Golden State. Golden State wins 106-105. David Lee had 31. But if you saw the end of the game or even the highlights, Iguodala gets fouled on, I think he was in the act of shooting. They thought it was questionable, but in the NBA, you get that continuation, as you know. He goes to the line with 3.4 seconds left. His team is down three. He makes the first two, so they're down one. He misses the third. The ball gets batted out of bounds by Golden State, and the Nuggets get the ball back with 0.5 seconds left, a half a second left. You know the rule now. If it's under three, you can't catch and shoot, but if it's three or over, you can. So that Nuggets inbounds the ball. Iguodala gets it, throws it up at the buzzer. It goes in, but then a review showed that he released the shot after the buzzer had sounded. So Golden State escapes. Golden State 106, the Nuggets 105. Again, in a very exciting game with a very strange ending. One other NBA note, that fight, if you saw the other day, where Chris Humphries of the Brooklyn Nets fouled KG hard, and Rondo immediately went up and pushed Chris Humphries into the stands. You know, the ensuing pushing match, as Rondo called it, resulted in Rondo getting two games. I don't know if he was considered like a third man in guy. I just don't know. But Rondo gets suspended two games. If you saw Gerald Wallace scuffling with KG right after the play, they were both fined but not suspended. Humphries, you know, that was a hard foul. It was probably a flagrant one. But apparently no fine for Humphries, no suspension. But Rondo, who is, you know, one of the best point guards in the NBA, but who loses his cool at times. You know, and the one thing, it's his emotion that helps make him great, but it's his emotion that gets the better of him. Now this team is not going to have him for the next two games, and that streak of 10 assists, at least 10 assists, which is mildly bogus. You know, Doc Rivers left him in garbage time the other night to get 10 assists, so I don't know. Again, you'd like to see records set in the flow of the game, but whatever. He's, you know, that record, it will not be, I think Magic Johnson holds the record, it will not be equaled by Rajon Rondo, at least not this time. He's going to have to start a, he's going to have to start another streak, which he's obviously fully capable of doing. A few other things. College basketball last night, number 8 Kentucky buried by Notre Dame at Notre Dame. Notre Dame 64, Kentucky 50. You know, Notre Dame's pretty good. Obviously, Kentucky is young. They'll be a much better team come playoff time. I don't know if they've loaded up as well as in the past, but yesterday, Notre Dame 64, Kentucky 50. Cooley, their big man for Notre Dame, 13 points, 11 rebounds, including 6 offensive rebounds. Atkins, 16 points and 4 assists, was the high scorer. Grant, 10 points, 6 assists for Notre Dame. Those three guys played 36 minutes or more. For Kentucky, Mays led the team with 16. Noel, the probably the most highly touted freshman on Kentucky, 10 points, 7 rebounds in 32 minutes. Notre Dame looked pretty good. Look, Kentucky's going to be there at the end of the day. That's because they're Kentucky. So we'll keep an eye on that. But that's an early season minor upset, I would say. Other top 20 teams last night, Florida buried Marquette 82-49. Gonzaga buried Lewis Clark State 104-57. Again, you get those kinds of games early in the year. Quick baseball notes. Russell Martin walks away from the Yankees, signs with the Pirates for 2 years and $17 million. Hard to believe the Yankees, who now don't even have a starting major league catcher. I don't know if they nickeled and dimed him or made him wait too long, but he took the 2 years and $17 million from the Pirates, who are not a bad team, as you know. Mariano Rivera did sign 1 year, $10 million, coming off that ACL problem. Andy Pettit did sign 1 year, $12 million. David Wright is either signed or on the verge of signing, seven-year extension, $138 million to stay with the Mets. Denard Span was traded to the Nationals from the Twins, just makes the Nationals a better team. Few other things going on tomorrow now. As you know, the big college football game, Alabama against Georgia in Atlanta. Winner to play Notre Dame for the national title. You like Alabama in this game, and you like Alabama in the national championship game. They have the experience. They've been there. Johnny Football woke them up with that defeat in Tuscaloosa. I think Alabama has been the best team in the country all year, but they did have that one loss. So can Georgia switch things up on them? Again, I think Alabama just has too much experience. They're in an SEC championship game. They're in a national title game, it seems, every year. And that's hard to beat. We will have to see what happens. One other interesting thing tomorrow, the Houston at the LA Galaxy in the MLS Cup Final. It's David Beckham's last game for the LA Galaxy and in Major League Soccer. He's obviously given MLS a high profile. That's tomorrow at 4:30 on ESPN, but he will not be back next year. And frankly, the question for the Galaxy is, will Landon Donovan be back next year? Obviously, he has some leverage. He's talked about not playing there next year, but we'll just have to see. I always give you one game against the spread on Friday. This week it's the Bengals in San Diego to play the Chargers. Bengals favored by 1.5. As you know, I picked three teams from the Bengals division, including the Bengals, to make the playoffs. Obviously, Ravens, Steelers, and Bengals. And the Bengals have been great of late. What they did to the Giants a couple of weeks ago was, and I'm a Giants guy, it was scary to watch. But I like the Bengals minus 1.5 over the Chargers. The Chargers, who always tease you, but their four wins have come against Oakland, Tennessee, and Kansas City twice. So the Bengals are a quality team going the right way now. So that's my pick for this week, Bengals minus 1.5 over the Chargers. Your TV tonight, if you get the YES Network, the Nets in Orlando to play the hapless Magic. If you get MSG, the Knicks are in Washington to play the even more hapless Wizards, who did finally win their first game the other night. Pac-12 championship tonight, UCLA at Stanford, 8 o'clock Eastern on Fox. MAC championship in Detroit, Northern Illinois against Kent State, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. And if you follow college football, you probably know that yesterday Louisville beat Rutgers at Rutgers 20-17. Rutgers still has a mathematical chance to get to a BCS bowl, but I got to tell you, the Big East is kind of the laughing stock of college football. I don't know if they're going to try and take away there. Well, they're not. The BCS, these teams are not ranked. Maybe Louisville will be ranked like in the 20s, but frankly, they're just not that good. And depending on what happens in other games this weekend, that will determine which Big East team is going to get the automatic BCS bowl, which you got to think the BCS people, you know, would not want to be a Big East team in the BCS this year. They're that bad. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.